I have been working with the young people this week. I was surprised on Friday when Brother Lucilius called me. I don't know why I was surprised, because he does like to do things last minute. But he asked me if I would help with the young people this week, and I'm honored that he would entrust me with the care of teaching the Word of God to the young people. I haven't really been preaching, I've been teaching. And I've been teaching the children how to live a life, the young people how to live a life for Christ. We're in a world and in a time period where everybody is going against Christ, where the world is fighting Him. And it's been so for how long? But yet I'll tell you this, that there is a sweet spirit amongst these young kids. And there's a sweet spirit and a heart for Christ, exemplified in how they're living out the messages that I've been going over with them. They've been living it out in day-to-day life. On Tuesday, yes, we talked about having a passion for purity. On Wednesday, we talked about how the Scripture calls us to be laborers and workers and have a work ethic that is befitting someone who calls himself a Christian. And yesterday, we talked about keeping the royal law in James 2:8. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Today, we're going to look in Proverbs, if you have your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at true friendship. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Our God and our Father, we give you honor and glory and praise. We pray, Lord, that your name would be lifted up this morning, that we would exalt the righteousness of God, and that we would exalt the righteousness of Christ, and that we would show forth your truth. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give me an unction to preach the word. And Lord, I pray that the people here today would be moved by the Holy Spirit to live out in their lives what your word has taught us. Let nothing be said that is apart from thee, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lyricist wrote a song that states, "I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain." And we might be tempted to go along with that. I don't know about you guys, but I've been hurt by friends before. We might be tempted in this life to view friendship as a bad thing. I'm just going to stand out on my own. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in 2004. And she thought that she could be alone, that she could handle things on her own. And when she was diagnosed with cancer, when the doctor told her, "You've got 3 months to live," she realized that she no longer could be alone. But she was broken by that. And I tell you that the Lord did a work in her life, and she's still with us today. And we praise the Lord for His mercy and grace. But she had a learning period there on how she couldn't just do it on her own. She used to say, "I could be a hermit, live all by myself, not have anybody bother me." But when she was sick, she wanted people around her. And when she was sick, I remember my grandmother would come into the hospital and just read the Scriptures to her. And she'd find peace in that. The Bible has a very different view of friendship. What does it say there in the passage in verse 24? A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh where? Closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. The Bible commends friendship in the English language. In the Bible, the word of friend appears 53 times. We are told that God spoke with Moses as a friend. In Deuteronomy 13:6, it tells us to beware of friends who would entice us away from God. Jesus was called what? The friend of sinners. I'm glad for that name, because He's my friend. And we are warned to not be friends with the world in James 4. So God views friendship as a powerful force in our lives. I want to tell you something that you could take to the bank this morning, that friendships can move you to do good and they can move you to do evil, but they are very rarely, if ever, neutral. Very rarely, if ever, neutral. Those that you're hanging around, the friends that you're with, they're going to move you to do something. They're going to move you to be a force for good in this life or a force for evil. But let me tell you that you've got to pay attention to this, because friends have a powerful impact in your life. Who you're hanging around, who you're dealing with. When I prepared this message, I didn't prepare it to preach to everybody. I prepared it to preach for the young people. But I think we could stand to hear this. And when I prepare any message, I preach it to myself. And if you guys get hit with a splatter, then the Holy Spirit's doing a work. I'll tell you this, friendship is never neutral. Some friends, it's easy to be godly around. You know, we come down in here to camp, and you know, I sit and I fellowship with the preachers down here that are men of God. And it's exciting for me. I grew up in a house where my dad was abusive. I grew up in a house where, when he would come home, he was a state cop. When he would come home, I would leave. He left when I was 10. My sisters were 3. But you know what my mother said? She said, "My children will not be a statistic. They will be raised in the Word of God." I thank God for a faithful mother. There's a powerful relationship there. Some friends, it's easy to be evil around. You find yourself slipping. You find yourself falling back into things that you had said, "Well, I'm not going to do this." And you fall back into them. But today I want us to see 3 things about true friendship. The first thing I want us to see is that a friend is loyal. If you've got your Bibles, Proverbs 17:17. What does it say there? "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We see that here, a friend being loyal, there is a consistency in his attitude towards you, a consistency in his treatment towards you. He is not a friend with you just based on your success level. He's not a friend with you based on how much you can bring to the friendship. He's not a friend with you based on how much you have in your bank account. He is not a friend with you based on what you look like. He's not a friend with you based on your style. If it was based on that, all of you would run away from me because I always wear Hawaiian shirts, right? The young people said, "Do you have anything else that hangs in your closet?" I said, "I do have polo shirts." One of them said, "Hawaiian polo shirts?" And I said, "Yeah." Just how it works out. But let me tell you, it's not based on how you look. True friends are loyal. And I think that people look for friendship even when they don't think they are. They go down into a group of people and they're looking for friends. You know, someone who thinks he's going to the bar just to be alone, he's looking for friendship. Someone who goes to church and they think, "I just want to slip in and sit in the back pew and view things," they're looking for friendship. They don't even realize it. They're looking for someone to come up to them. But in our society, it has a way of making us feel alienated. You may have to look a certain way or act a certain way, even the rebellious people. To be in a rebellious group, you can't be a law-abiding citizen, right? You've got to act a certain way. But listen, this is not true friendship. True friendship, while aware of your shortcomings, it's not going to care. True friendship, while aware of your differences, it's going to overlook them. In Luke 15, the prodigal son lived how? Riotously. He lived a riotous life. And I'm sure when he had all of that money that he got from daddy, he was living it up and people were around him. Why? Because he had something to offer to them. But once all of that was gone, what happened to him? He wound up where? In the pigsty. if he would have had even one true friend, he would not have went to the pigsty. But he had nobody that would even give him anything. Nothing. No one cared for him. No decent friendships were formed during that time period of him living riotously and living it up. I ask you this morning, do you have a friend that's consistent? Or are you wasting your time with worthless friendships? Are you wasting your time with worthless friendships? I have young kids growing up. For those of you who are new here and don't know me, if you see any small, kind of chubby children running around, what Wyatt described them as little Oompa Loompas. The oldest one is 4, number 2 is 3, number 3 is 2, and number 4 is going to be 1. And number 5 is due in December. And don't drink the water while you're down here. But they are a blessing from God. And you know what I want for them? I want for them friendships that are based in loyalty. That it's not going to be someone trying to change them, but it's going to be someone who appreciates them. You know, what did it say in the passage that I first read, the first verse? What does it say? Whoso, in verse 22 of Proverbs 18, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. The Lord blessed me with a wonderful wife. Let me tell you, I would not be successful in my ministry today if I didn't have a wife who didn't support me. And she sees me even when I'm at home, and she still loves me. You know, it's not just a facade. It's not just put on. She actually, you know what she told me this week? She said, I miss you. She said, I haven't hardly seen you this week. Can you imagine that? All the young kids are looking at me and they're thinking, how could anybody miss him? I'm wishing this week that I could miss him. He's been around. I mean, I come up and I sit with them. They're like, oh, the preacher's here again. There was a certain thing that happened last evening. No names will be named, Kristen. Where some certain young kids were trying to be friendly to me. They got around me in a circle and were talking to me, and I'm thinking, they love the preacher! Look at them! They're excited. They're pulling in close to me, putting their arms around me. Oh, Pastor Nathan. Oh, we love you, Pastor Nathan, talking to me. I think one of them even said, wow, I was really moved by your message today. And then I looked over at Kristen. And she put 2 handfuls of shaving cream right in my face. Respect. That's the sermon on Sunday, Kristen. Respect. But you know what that says to me? That says to me that they know that I can take it. It says to me that they know that I love them. And you know what? That's exciting for me. Because young people are excited about the Word of God. It's something new. All the young people I knew growing up were not excited about the Word of God. I grew up in church, and the people in church were not excited about the Word of God. What a tragedy. You know, if I had to put a label on this week with the messages I've been bringing to the young people and the messages that Brother Morris has been bringing in the evening and the messages that Brother Finnegan has been bringing in the morning, I would say, literally, you could call it obedience. Obedience to Christ and how Christ was obedient. We saw it in Isaiah 53, obedient even unto death. Obedient in life and obedient in death. Friends need to be loyal to each other, consistent. Stop wasting your time on worthless friendships. Jonathan so loved David that he was willing to give up all of his princely rights for him. What a friendship. Friendship is not only marked by loyalty, it's also marked by honesty in Proverbs 27:6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Here we see two factors. What does it say there? Let me read it again. Faithful are the wounds of a what? An enemy. Isn't that what it says? No, what does it say? A friend. But the kisses of a friend, right? No, the kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. There's two factors here. What are they? One, a friend that really loves you is going to be honest towards you. They're not going to flatter you. And two, flattery from an enemy is a terrible thing. Because then you start believing it. Listen, a friend is willing to wound when necessary. And an enemy will treat you with flattery. What does that mean? A friend is willing to wound. Does that mean that your best friend has to be talking down to you all the time? That they come at you as a friend? For what purpose? I want to change you, make you more like me. Here's my list. If you don't follow my list, you're gone. I'm not your friend anymore. No, that flies in the face of the first point of loyalty. But rather, what is it? That even though someone is willing to overlook certain shortcomings and differences, they are also willing to tell you the truth when necessary. They're willing to look you eyeball to eyeball and say what? You've got a problem. But they do it in love, with a heart saying, I want to help you. I want to get you through this problem as best as I can. Somebody who comes alongside you and just tells you you've got a problem and then is not willing to be a part of the solution is not really your friend. You need to look at them carefully. But an enemy is going to treat you with flattery. Why? Because they're just trying to keep you off balance, off your toes. Sometimes, I want to say this so that you can hear it. Sometimes pain causes progress. Pain causes progress. A friend shouldn't just hurt to hurt, though. But we do have blind spots, and we need help. If you come to the conclusion that you're the one helping everybody, I have no blind spots. I am perfect. Let's talk to you. How's your arm? Is it out of joint from patting yourself on the back? Oh, you know, get over yourself. You aren't perfect. Have you looked in the mirror? Especially Kristen? Maybe I'll leave her alone for the rest of the sermon. I don't know. Probably not. I'm not going to make promises I can't keep. When we have these blind spots, listen, a true friend points them out, and the person that has them pointed out is thankful for it. That should be a mark, too. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find what? More favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Told you I have four kids. I have yet to successfully flatter them into behaving well. It just hasn't happened. You know, Joanna, number three, has an attitude. And I have never flattered her into doing anything. Oh, you're such a good girl, Joanna. You're just so well behaved. Daddy loves you. That's like talking to a dog. But you know, there have been times that I've said no, and I've rebuked her. And you know what's amazing to me? When I was a kid, I used to run away from the door when my dad came home. And I thought, I never want to be that way with my children. And even though I rebuke them, and I'm not afraid to rebuke them because I'm not a friend, I'm their father, when I come home, I have four little packages hanging off of me. And when I get into the recliner and I just want to put my feet up and rest, it doesn't happen. Eleanor comes and hops up into my lap. And then Samuel, not to be outdone by Eleanor, hops up into my other lap. And then Joanna comes over. up. By this point, I'm out of laps, so I put them, you know, I've got stomach. So I set Joanna there, and then Asa crawls over and pulls himself up on the chair and grab him and put him up my shoulder. You know? When number five comes, we're going to have... This is what I'm going to have to do. I'm just going to have to get fatter so that I have more places to put the children at. Right? It's good Baptist doc. No. Maybe if I lost some weight, I'd have more lap to put the children in. Parents who rebuke their children gain more than those who flatter them. They come up to me and they love me. Why? Because, you know, I'm willing to point out the rough spots for them. But I'm not just willing to point them out, I'm willing to help them through it. That's friendship. Friends are willing to help you through it. We should not raise our children to be prideful. You should not have friends who cause you to be prideful. That'll happen through flattery. I read the verse, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." You know what's a good thing for a wife to do? I think every pastor's wife should walk around with a pin about this big so that when her husband's ego just starts to get a little bit too big, she can just pop it. Come up alongside him. "I love you, dear. But you need to be humble." My wife has helped keep me humble. She has helped correct me in some areas, not being over me, but showing me a love coming alongside of me. Humility is a good thing. I don't know if you know this or not. Pride is ugly. Spiritual pride is the ugliest thing you'll ever see. Humility is beauty. And the wounds of a friend are good for you. Proverbs 29:5, "A man that flattereth his neighbor," what does he do? "He spreadeth a net for his feet." A rebuke will transform you, but a friend who flatters you will trip you up. Be cautious. The third point I have. A true friendship is sensitive. We shouldn't just be honest, but we should be sensitive. In Proverbs 26, verse 18 and 19, it says, "As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport?" Basically, if you could boil this down, you could say this, that it's mean to joke against someone and then say, "Oh, I'm joking." You know, joking with really feeling that way. Understand what I'm saying? You come up to somebody and say, "Oh, look at that ugly guy again. Oh, I'm just joking." But you're not. And they know you're not. It causes pain. A friendship that is going to be honest must also be sensitive. Christ was sensitive. We've been reading it in Isaiah 53. It's an amazing thing that the God of this universe could be so sensitive. Sensitive to our every need. A friendship that is honest must be sensitive. And so this is the standard that the Bible gives us. Consistency, honesty, and sensitivity is key to true friendship. And when you do these, you will have a friend that what? Sticketh closer than a brother. But I think that this verse is pointing to something even more. I think that there's almost a prophecy in this verse, prophesying someone who could fulfill all three of those characteristics. You know, I haven't always been a perfect friend. As a matter of fact, I have never been a perfect friend. But I will tell you this, that I know someone who is. I know someone that who is loyal to his friends. I know someone who is consistent. I know someone who is honest to me. I know someone who is sensitive to my needs. I know someone who sticketh closer to me than a brother. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is where true friendship is found. Listen, when the world fades from view and you see Christ on the cross, when you see Him as that lamb, the sacrificial sacrifice, you can't help but weep when you're looking at Him and think to yourself, "All of this for me, and I'm worthless. Worthless. There's no good thing in me." Not one. But listen, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. I believe that these verses are prophesying, looking forward to the Christ, to whom Jesus Christ fits all of the descriptions of a perfect friend. The Bible is a book about who? Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see Him predicted. In the Gospels, we see Him revealed. In Acts, we see Him preached. In the Epistles, we see Him explained. And in Revelation, we see Him expected. This is Jesus. This is a book about Him. When you see wisdom, where do you see it? In Christ. When you see love, it is all in Christ. When you see friendship, it is all in Christ. Ultimately, where is true friendship? In Christ. How is His friendship exemplified to us? Let me tell you. Jesus Christ stopped at a tree and looked up in it at a little short man and said, "What? Come on down, Zacchaeus, because I'm going to your house." Jesus went out of His way to come up to a well to do what? Meet with a woman that He shouldn't have even been talking to by rights according to the Jewish standards. But He went for the people that were down and out. He went after them. He stood on a rooftop and explained, "You must be born again," to Nicodemus, going out of His way. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He is the friend of sinners. This is why, and I want you to listen, young people especially, this is why you must show Him forth in your life. Did you hear me? So that others may taste and see Jesus. The friendship that we have with Christ is evangelical, reaching out through you to others. So stop running around in little cliques and stuff like that and start showing forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone you come in contact with. Lord, help me live in such a way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Jesus Christ gives us an evangelical attitude in our friendship, but it's also a standard for our friendship. If you love me, you will what? Obey me. Keep my commandments. Obey me. I know Jesus is my friend, but how can I show Him that I am His? Obedience. How can I show Him that I am His friend? Obedience. If you are living, and I want you to catch this, if you are living in opposition to His commands, do not be surprised if you don't find fulfillment in friendship with Him. Did you hear that? You will never view Him as a true friend until you start obeying Him. Why? Because you're going to see rather everything that you're not being. The Holy Spirit will be convicting you, driving you to go closer to Him. But when you're living in obedience to Him, that is where fulfillment is found. Fulfillment is not found in anything else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh has temporary lusts. The flesh has temporary desires. The flesh has temporary feelings, emotions that change moment by moment. But listen, in Christ there is eternity. And in Christ we will find fulfillment. Loving Jesus is not a glandular condition. I didn't feel it, so I didn't do it. I don't really love Him at this moment, so I'm not going to go and show other people love. It's not a glandular condition. What is it? There's security in love towards Christ. John 14:21. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He hits it again in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, friendship is important. But the friendship of Christ is the most important thing you'll ever see. If there's anything that I can impart to you young people, everybody here, not just the young. There's some old people here like Brother Morris. I foresee more shaving cream in my future. But it's for him as well. You know, we preachers get up here and we preach. But listen, I couldn't preach without the love of Christ. If I am out of touch with Christ, then there is no power in my preaching. Because any power that is there because of Christ. Churches today are avoiding Christ. Churches today are writing him out. Churches today are trying to be politically correct. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, sin is sin. And Christ died on the cross for it. And when it's covered in the blood, I can stand here this morning rejoicing in the fact that I am free. I can stand here this morning rejoicing in the fact that I have a friend who loves me. I want to read an old hymn. I've found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever, for I am his and he is mine forever and forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, he bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are his and his forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am his forever. I am his forever. Friendships are important. Make sure you choose the right friend. Make sure you pray to be the right friend. And above all, know Jesus is your friend. Amen? Our God and our Father, we thank you, Lord, for a word from the Word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to come alive in it and that we would know what an awesome friend we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.